Monica Abbott here, back in Kansas City to host my first annual scholarship golf tournament presented by Shields, Monday, May 6th at Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee's Summit. All proceeds go toward awarding two scholarships to well-deserving female athletes in the Kansas City area. Sign up at monicaabbott.com.
Isn't this a sports show?
You just want to see my underwear right now?
No.
I'm now intrigued.
I got some Deadpool undies. Look at my butt, you guys.
Almost entirely.
I was just reminding the audience, we don't know anything, so we're talking about Pokemon.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, we're doing this show live from the bottom of a swimming pool. And, the chlorine levels are perfect.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, it's 2019. I don't Netflix and chill. I listen to AES and drink Hennessy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810.
Happy Monday from a very special location where we're doing tonight's Almost Entirely Sports. In fact, we are returning to the location of the very first AES on 810. Our very first show moving from the ESPN to the 810 side of things was out here. We are overlooking Loch Lloyd out here in Missouri, but we're doing it for a very special reason, for a very special cause. More on that in a second. More on that throughout the course of the show. We have plenty of Chiefs things to talk about. The roster cut down deadline isn't until tomorrow afternoon, but the Chiefs, as they've done for, I believe, all of their cut down deadline moves to this point, got a head start on it, and we'll be able to talk about a handful of preseason training camp favorites that did not make the 53, including, I'll say one that is at least a little bit of a surprise, and then the rest of them will kind of just depend on how the practice squads end up filling out, but we'll talk about that. Also, our first show on the AES front since the Chiefs' final preseason game, and I do think that even as we sit here now on sort of takeaway day for the preseason, the last chance to do that, and the beginning of cut-down days, I do think there is some stuff that we can still take away from the third preseason game, even though most of those moves, most of those takeaways were directly correlated to the roster cut-downs that would be incoming. So we'll talk about that in a second. Why did Matt Derrick retweet our link with can't wait. Matt Derrick loves the Bleeps Creek GIFs.
Yeah.
And he will be joining us because it's Monday. He'll be joining us here in about an hour. And we'll talk to Matt Derrick about the cutdown moves, about the preseason wrapping up and all of that. But first, also, before we get into all of those things, let me tell you a little bit about what we are, what we're doing out here right now, out overlooking Loch Lloyd. We're here benefiting Healing House Kansas City. If you want to get more information, I'm going to give you this URL a ton today, because it's a fantastic organization that you'll get the full story on a little bit later here in tonight's show. We'll talk to the director, founder, and CEO, Bobby Joe, will join us, and we'll talk to her about what it is that Healing House does on a level that only she can fully explain all the way kind of down to the roots. But Healing House has been in the works here now for almost two decades, since 2002, and they provide housing and support to people in Kansas City suffering from various substance abuse disorders and try to help them be able to experience long-term sobriety and in a lot of different ways even beyond that, sort of stabilize, help them either stabilize or restart their lives in a lot of ways. It's we got to hear her talk a little bit before the show and covering all of the things that they are able to do as this one organization based out of Kansas City to help people in more ways than just come here and sober up and then we'll send you back out into the world. But some really, not that that's not enough, but some really meaningful care beyond that in a way that that I think only she will probably be able to explain fully and with her story and why it is that they're doing what they do at Healing House. So really, I just a tremendous organization with you know, some tragic stories that turn into sort of miraculous ones. So healinghousekc.org, if someone in your life, maybe you, could use some help in that aspect of your life, someone else in your life maybe needing that, or I couldn't encourage you enough, if you want to donate, if you want to figure out other ways that you can help, the best thing you can do, I think, is to go to healinghousekc.org, go through their website, and you'll be able to see what exactly it is that that they need. Always taking clothes donations, monetary donations, have a fitness center that just opened. I mean, just all sorts of things that you can read more about at healinghousekc.org and find your way to help this incredible organization. I feel very lucky that our way of being able to do that today is by hanging out here for this event they've got going on. And snarfing down some street tacos, much in the way a pelican might. By the end, I was sort of shoving it into my face, and then just kind of gulping it.
I'm usually not a huge fan of like essentially cold corn.
Really?
I like my corn. I like it to be cooked right.
Sure.
This corn's it's fantastic. It's so good. Poured it on the taco, made it even better.
It's the same thing.
Food out here is outstanding.
I've got like a bite and a half that's just sitting there that I couldn't get to before the show actually started.
Yeah.
And so we might just take our break now, and then I'll just eat two bites of street taco and then get back into it. No, we will not take a break. We will talk to Matt Derrick in a little bit. We'll continue to tell you about Healing House. We'll talk to Bobby Joe in a little while. But we should absolutely talk about what has happened around the Kansas City Chiefs over these last couple of days. Here's what we've got right now in terms of players who have reportedly been released or waived from the team. Most of these reports coming from Sam McDowell or Herbie Tiopi. I think Tom Pelissero had the first one on this list that I'll give you, but most of it's come from those guys. And a couple of them might be surprising. Several of them are noteworthy. And the practice squad for this team will be filled with names that we grew to know very well over the course of this preseason. Safety Devon Key, I think it was at the end of training camp, maybe after. It was only before the first preseason game. I think it was the first preseason game where he had that touchdown given up to Trey Lance. It was not a great moment for him.
No,
he seemed like he was really going to give Armani Watts a real run for his money for that fourth safety spot. But Devon Key was released today.
He seemed like a guy who I don't think anybody was necessarily wrong, right? Like friend of the show, Kent, obviously loved him coming out of college. I think all those people were spot on. He looked like a guy who got to the NFL and realized, oh, wow, everybody's fast.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's going from Conference USA to the NFL. Like even Armani Watts played in the SEC, right? Like now there are plenty of athletes he went up against who never were good enough for the NFL, but that, you know what I mean? The gap's just not as big. And Armani Watts looked like a guy who realized, oh, wow, everybody up here is fast.
And right, because, I mean, I think twice he gave up two long touchdowns that were probably mostly on him, probably, hard to know without knowing the schemes.
For sure.
But it wasn't even just that, like, his speed failed him. It's that his angles failed him.
Yes.
Which I think, to your point, can be reflective of realizing, I had to change my angle here to keep up with NFL speed.
It's him doing what he did in college and realizing, oh, I've got to make adjustments. And now, you know, I think the thought process that is, if he's not claimed, he ends up on practice squad.
Absolutely.
Which is good for him. And he can spend a year, you know, getting accustomed to what playing in the NFL is like.
And you get 18 regular season weeks of playing some scout team defense up against Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and whatnot. He seems like maybe as much as anybody, one of the best practice squad candidates the Chiefs are going to have. Also, I don't know that anybody is. I don't know if he's going to end up on another team's radar or not. But for the specifics of the Chiefs, he makes all the sense in the world. They've invested a little bit in him just as a developmental player. I don't, you know, I'm not talking about the monetary side as an undrafted free agent, but they've invested in developing him. He looked really good at times in camp. Give him some more time. He'll be on the practice squad unless somebody else picks him up. Tom Pelissero, I mentioned that he could be a practice squad candidate. This is not me reporting he's going to be there. This is me saying, unless he gets claimed, I would be willing to bet that he ends up on the practice squad.
And it works out, because I was pretty sure this case, but I just double-checked, like, Armani Watts is a free agent after this year. Now, they could have cut him. Obviously, it wouldn't really have been any money. But it's just, you can let a guy who's been in your system, both on the defensive and special team side, spend another year doing what he does best, giving Key time to learn the defensive and even special team side, right? Because that's going to be a big part of his role just for the really for the future of his NFL career.
Some of that I also think can be true for Zane Anderson.
Yep.
He was the undrafted free agent defensive back out of BYU who might have reminded you of Dan Sorensen for a handful of various reasons. It's hard to put my finger on. But
they both go to BYU.
That was, and they both, you know, play a physical sort of defensive backfield position. I think that's it.
You could call them essentially their linebackers, let's be honest. I think they would each call themselves really a linebacker.
I don't know. I think that's underrating what they are defensively, but I feel like there's something else to have in common.
Call himself a linebacker, basically?
He said he can play linebacker.
Gotcha. Well,
you know,
Zane would tell you he can also play linebacker.
I think both of them are all white in that position. Yeah. I think there's something else they have in common. I can't figure it out.
No, I can't think of it. Kind of start with a ZS sound. They're very similar sounding names. Zane Sorensen?
Anderson and Sorensen almost sound more
true.
So. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So McDowell tweeted that
they're
one
both
out.
White.
And, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Subtle. It sounds like he could also be a practice squad candidate. Makes a lot of sense. You want to have, especially if they're going to just carry four safeties on the active roster, which seems almost certain at this point, being Matthew, Sorensen, Thornhill, and Watts. Both of those guys could end up on the practice squad. You can also call up a couple of practice squad activations on game day that are not the same thing as actually signing someone to the active roster.
Yeah.
But both of those guys would make a lot of sense. Wide receiver Darius Shepherd.
It's not surprising.
It's a deep receiver room.
Yeah.
Linebacker Amari Cobb had a nice preseason. And training camp, McDowell said the Chiefs would like to bring him back on the practice squad. Expect that from him. Dalton Schoen, wide receiver, K-State guy.
Also not really. Him and Shepard, I mean, like, they technically had shots, right? But it never really felt like. They were always on the outside looking in. With honestly, for them needing some injury luck to go their way in terms of guys ahead of them maybe getting hurt. And then just playing outstanding.
To get from 80 to 53, the Chiefs have to get rid of 27 players.
Yeah.
It could be released. It could be waived. It could be an IR spot, a pup list thing. So they're not going to cut 27 guys. But knowing they have to move down by 27 spots, keep in mind there are 16 practice squad spaces for them to fill out.
Yep.
And so, you know, some of them are going to be more obvious than others. A few of these guys, I think a good portion of today's 10 to 12 cuts, I think, have a decent chance there. Schoen and Shepard seem a little less likely, especially. They're going to still have to, I think, as of right now, I think Fountain or Powell are probably not, one of those guys is probably not going to have a spot on this roster. And so if they get a chance to make one of those guys a practice squad guy, then I think it makes it tough for Schoen or for Shepard.
And also, I mean, they're going, more than likely, you're going to see a couple guys added to the practice squad
yep.
who are not in Chiefs camp at all this year.
Absolutely.
Because that's usually how it goes.
You'll see a couple active roster guys, probably.
Yep.
Less so for the Chiefs than most.
You're going to see guys get cut who they're like, oh, we liked this guy coming out of college.
Yep.
We want to see him
all
in
about
here.
That life.
Let's add, you know, the Panthers offensive tackle to the practice squad.
Yep.
Which might just be Prince. He was with the. He wasn't a Panther. He was an Eagle. I kept thinking he was a Panther. But point being, they might sign somebody from,
right.
you know, somebody else's draft pick.
Very likely.
Drafted rookie free agent to their practice squad.
You got a guy like Damone Harris, a defensive end. Again, with the defensive end group being like, you know, it's got pretty good depth. But
yep.
Herbie Tiopi notes that he's a strong candidate to return the practice squad.
Same
thing for offensive lineman Wyatt Miller. It'll be interesting to see how they pare down their offensive line. If they do carry 10 on the active roster, which seems pretty likely as of right now, I don't know how many offensive linemen they'll want to take with them. Herbie also says defensive lineman Austin Edwards, possible practice squad candidate. He had a couple nice moments in training camp. Not, you know, nothing dominant or whatever, but you want to have a relatively balanced practice squad so you
For
don't
sure.
have to go out and sign somebody to your active roster if somebody sprains their ankle and it knocks them out for a week or two, you know? Maurice French, same deal, also released. It's just going to be tough to see. They're going to have a receiver or two on their practice squad.
Yeah.
Most likely probably two, just don't know who it's going to be.
Is Derek Dieter still practice squad eligible?
Yes, with the rules for this year,
sure.
I think it is six. I think it's six veterans that you can have.
I'm
not even sure if he requires that because I don't think he's gotten that many active
game
days.
I'm just saying, Derek Dieter always seems to find a way to be around this team.
The way that he finds, you know, is that he is a fine receiver
yeah.
who is good friends with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Life is
Randall Cobb would not be a Green Bay Packer if Aaron Rodgers didn't want him there.
And I'm fine with it. Your quarterback's allowed to have a guy.
Yes.
And if that guy's just really not a great football player, that's fine.
I mean, in the grand scheme of humanity, well, he is a great football player.
He's one of the best football players in the world.
He's a fine special teamer. Yeah. And if he ends up running a couple of routes, if your receiver group gets thin, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the tiebreaker between him and Maurice French is which one does Patrick Mahomes like better,
it's probably fun.
Especially for the receiver group, right? You know, if he's picking defensive linemen, maybe we eventually have to put a stop to that. But, you know, I feel like
one, because Dieter's got a catch, but Mahomes was not quarterback. We need one Mahomes to Dieter catch.
Touchdown.
Like, that just has to happen in his career.
In the Super Bowl to clinch it. That's what I want.
That would be something.
Sure would. Still on the active roster right now, though, Eric Dieter. Has not gotten the cut yet, so that would be it.
If he stubs his toe tomorrow,
he's up on the injured IR
for the year.
I really thought that he and Cornell Powell needed to stage a fight at some point, and they both just, sprain a knuckle, you know?
Yeah.
And it lets Powell redshirt for a year, and it keeps Dieter around.
Yeah.
Keep their lockers. Let them learn.
Yeah.
And that would work out great, but apparently I have not heard any reports of that happening, so I'll keep my fingers crossed on that one. The two that are somewhere along the realm of surprising for me is that the Chiefs released both Darwin Thompson and Derek Gore. With Darrell Williams coming out of the concussion protocol, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of a apparently pretty minor ankle sprain, it's those two dudes and Jerick McKinnon, who's also had his injury issues over the course of his career. His haven't even really been kind of the ticky-tack ones I think twice.
Yeah.
I think he missed two full seasons. Not that that's necessarily going to be repeated or whatever, but my guess is that one of those guys at least ends up on the practice squad.
For sure.
But Derek Dieter on the mind. Can't blame me. Darwin Thompson had an Instagram caption that was read as a sort of goodbye. I'm guessing that if they said in the, bring me your playbook, but we're going to try to keep you on the practice squad, maybe he doesn't post anything.
Yeah.
Maybe the Chiefs think that he's going to get claimed by somebody.
Yeah.
If the Bears, I don't know the Bears running back situation, I just know
I
Matt Nagy is there.
I know they have Khalil Herbert, the KU running back.
Do they?
Yeah, but that's all
I know. They draft him?
Yeah. No, I think he was an undrafted free agent.
I think he was an undrafted free agent, but I don't know. Now I'm second guessing everything.
I'm pretty sure he was undrafted free agent.
But if
sixth round pick.
Sixth round, okay.
Nailed it.
But if Matt Nagy went, you know what? I remember Darwin Thompson. I like Darwin Thompson. They overlap by a year, I think, right?
They also have Damian Williams.
They sure do.
Yes.
Yeah, get the band back together.
That made me, when you just essentially said,
I remember
Darwin Thompson, that made me think of, he has Damian Williams, who he's
already there.
Coached.
Nagy and Darwin overlap by a year, right?
Probably.
But maybe they miss each other by one. I'm not sure. Regardless.
Because this was year three of Darwin, and this is year three of Bienemy.
So did they draft Darwin when Bienemy was offensive coordinator then?
I think that offseason before, when Bienemy was named the OC when Nagy left.
Okay. Which that was the year they also drafted Darwin.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
So they didn't overlap then. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they wouldn't have overlapped, yes.
I was pretty sure, but I was having a hard time making that logic work for some reason.
Basically, both Bienemy and Darwin are going to the third year. That's how I remembered.
Okay. But so maybe the Chiefs think that he's going to get claimed. Maybe Darwin thinks he's going to get claimed somewhere, and he'll be on an active roster. I've liked Darwin Thompson since they drafted him. He probably shouldn't have 15 carries a game, but I don't think there are all that many running backs in the NFL who should. And I think it says something similar about Derek Gore. I remember being up there, I think it was the second day of camp. It was just quarterbacks and rookies and injured guys. And I remember watching Derek Gore thinking, that dude looks like an NFL running back to me. He was the only running back on the roster at that time. So at some point, I think it was Anthony Gordon who was taking some handoffs to just try to not have Derek Gore take every single rep. But he looked good in the preseason. And I'm just going to do this now.
It
is logically incompatible for a fan to talk about how a running back should be drafted in the first round or should be given a major contract and then to also be commenting on Chiefs Facebook about how you can't believe they cut Gore after a couple good preseason games, or that they cut Darwin Thompson because he looks good to your eyes. It's logically incompatible because you're talking about the Chiefs' fourth and fifth running backs and saying, like, wow, you know what? Those guys really look like that. If they were out there with Mahomes, that first-team offensive line, I really think those two guys could do some good work with the ball in their hands, which is the entire extent of the admittedly probably harmed by the phrasing of running backs don't matter. It's not that Aaron Schatz mentioned this on the show a little while ago, and it's similar to what we've said before, but I liked his phrasing. It's like, the issue is not that no running backs are actually good. The issue is that every running back at the NFL level is so good, and you only have one of them on the field at a time. You know, the difference between we're talking about the Chiefs wide receiver three spot a ton because their third pass catcher is on the field 100% of the time, yep. Basically. Their fourth pass catcher is out there a lot.
Yeah.
Same deal with corners versus talking about, you know, again, running backs where you have one of them that is on the field at all times. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is some degree better and more talented than Jerick McKinnon and Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson and Derek Gore. But I think that if Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, just disappeared, was not on the team currently, if they traded him, whatever, if he just, you know, just for the sake of the bit, he just poofs into smoke, and all of a sudden Derek Gore had to get the bulk of the Chiefs' work, they would not lose an extra game, in my mind. The wins above replacement for the running back position is really, really narrow. If you have literally Jamaal Charles or literally Barry Sanders, it's different. But think about how many receivers, offensive linemen, obviously quarterbacks, yeah, cornerbacks, safeties, pass rushers, linebackers even more so. How many of those guys you think, boy, it is really evident that Tyreek Hill and Garrett Dieter are both professional wide receivers who are both, as you said, in the top 1% of football players in the world. And Tyreek Hill is so much better than Garrett Dieter that me having to say that out loud sounds like a joke that I'm making at Garrett Dieter's expense, which I'm really not trying to do. It's just the fact of it. Mecole Hardman is unbelievably talented.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill is so much better at playing wide receiver right now than Mecole Hardman is that the value difference between the two of those guys is remarkable. Now, again, they're on the field at the same time, plenty. Mm-hmm. For a running back, you're talking about a decent number of touches because it's easier to hand the ball to a running back than it is to throw it, you know, 35 yards downfield. But your eyes are not lying to you whenever you see Darwin Thompson look like, if you took his name and number off of his jersey, or you didn't know where they had drafted him, or that Derek Gore was a UDFA, or that Jerick McKinnon is sort of a reclamation project. Damian Williams was a reclamation project, and some of you people wanted him to be the Super Bowl MVP until late in that game, and even after the game. Some of you people wanted that instead of giving it to Patrick Bleepin' Mahomes.
Well, I mean, Damian Williams did have a good game.
He had a great game. And he was not the most valuable player for the Chiefs. You know, like that's how it is. But you find these great stories of it's Damian Williams. Darrell Williams is this team's third down back right now and is good in pass pro and knows the offense. Jerick McKinnon, again, sort of a reclamation project. Those guys all have value because they're all really good. Clyde is more talented, but also, like, there were times last year where it did not appear the Chiefs trusted him in third down situations. They put out undrafted free agent LSU teammate Darrell Williams out there instead. It's just, that's not an indictment on Clyde, and I really, the thing about ever having this conversation that really does sort of exhaust me and really does, like, this not as a bit, makes me not want to talk about it, is that I don't think that a lot of people are interested in trying to have the conversation that I want to have, and I think it just turns into, like, Josh hates Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. And I really don't. I don't care for the way that he was made a member of the Chiefs. That's it. Because I really like Darwin Thompson. I like Derek Gore. I like Jerick McKinnon. I like Darrell Williams. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I like how the other guys were acquired. I like them all close enough that realizing that one of them was a first-round pick and the other ones were all through some various number of late-round undrafted free agent ways is sort of all the argument I feel like I need.
You can look at the Chiefs' two most, you know, two recent most talented running backs. Jamal Charles, Kareem Hunt, third round draft picks. It never comes down to running backs aren't good or running backs provide no value. Because again, Jamal Charles and Kareem, and Jamal Charles is a bit of the exception, right?
A historical exception.
If you are talking about the true greats, right? And you know, like the guy like Barry, like you said, Barry Sanders, like those type of guys, like the truly elite guys at any position, they obviously bring value because they're the truly elite.
But that's really two guys in like the last 30 years or
exactly.
whatever.
And
from Marshall Faulk might have had an argument from some of the new analytics we have, but yeah.
It just comes down to the fact that it's just you can find a running back again who maybe because and again using Kareem Hunt and Jamal Charles both obviously better I would say better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire and they're at least in with their primes with the Chiefs. So, I mean certainly obviously Jamal Kareem I would say as well. Maybe
sure.
Somebody would argue they would rather have Clyde right now, which I mean honestly he's younger.
That's fine. Yeah, whatever.
But the average, the difference between the average fourth round running back drafted and the average first round running back or the average undrafted running back, that percentage is just small. That first round running back is probably better. He's probably producing more. But by
probably
how
getting
much?
More work also.
That too. But by how much? Right. Like so often we're talking about literally a single percentage, maybe 2%. It makes your team 2% better. And is drafting a player in the first round as compared to drafting a player in the sixth round worth that 2%? I would say no.
Last year, in 14 games, and having come up this ramp as an undrafted player, which means, again, your draft spot often will give you more usage early on in your career. It's just the nature of the beast.
Provide
not
you
saying
way
it's a good
more,
thing or a bad thing.
More
opportunity.
More opportunities. You stick around just in the league longer.
James Robinson, as an undrafted free agent last year for the Jags, on 240 carries, went over 1,000 yards, averaged 4.5 yards per carry, and ended up with 1,400 total yards from scrimmage. The Jaguars draft Travis Etienne in the first round. This is another thing where I'm nervous because I'm talking about like injuries
Travis
and stuff.
Etienne.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not. This is by no means like I don't want anybody to ever get hurt, except for Rudy sometimes.
Yeah, understandable.
But they draft Travis Etienne in the first round, having a 1,000-yard rusher they got as an undrafted free agent, diamond in the rough last year. How much worse are the Jags after losing Travis Etienne? I'm going to say zero games worse.
With a
guy that was up there in rushing yards leaders last year, who steps back into a starting role.
Yeah, I might be like, yeah, they're 2% worse, 1% worse, but I don't think that leads to winning or losing.
I don't think that
changes anything about their record.
Wayne Gallman became a fantasy football star for some people because he played really well after Saquon Barkley got hurt. Saquon Barkley is a better running back. I get it. Travis Etienne is
absolutely
a way more dynamic talent. I understand that. But it is so reliant, and this is something I'm also going to lay this groundwork on right now here on August 30th before we get to the real season. Whoever's running the ball for the Chiefs, Clyde or the other guys, they're going to look better than they did running behind last year's offensive line.
Yep.
That's also sort of the point, is that it's just very, very reliant on your surroundings. The Chiefs should run the ball whenever defenses dare them to. I don't want them to run the ball for the sake of running it, but whenever you have Patrick Mahomes, it's also going to make your life easier for your running back.
The Bills game, right? If I remember right, were basically the Bills.
The Bills
said,
had linebackers backpedaling at the snap.
We dare you to run the ball,
yep,
and we're going to make it as easy as possible for you. The Chiefs were like, cool,
we'll just run
okay, we'll gain 8 yards a carry.
And then people came out of that talking about like, oh, here it is, this is Clyde Edwards-Helaire's breakout game. He was really good in that game.
Absolutely.
But to call it like some sort of breakout game takes away the context, which is that offense was running that way because the Bills were terrified of Patrick Mahomes. And so again, like if you want to say, hey, with this new offensive line, we have an offensive line that's a little more physical, that can take advantage of some of those lighter sets or different defensive schemes and everything, lighter boxes, whatever, I'm totally okay with having offensive linemen that can do both, but then also by doing that, you would be able to get a good amount of production out of Darwin Thompson. And they're going to get good production out of Clyde this year. I have, in the keeper fantasy league that I'm in, I drafted Clyde last year, and I'm going to keep him this year because I think he's going to have a very productive season.
Yeah.
But also, in the little bit we saw, especially in the third preseason game when Darryl and Clyde were both out, if this offense had to run with nothing but Jerick McKinnon, Darwin Thompson, and Derek Gore in their backfield, I still think they would win 13 or 14 games. Yeah. With Clyde and Jerick McKinnon and Darryl Williams, I think they're going to win 13 or 14 games. And so, you know, maybe people don't want to relitigate all of this at the time. Who else? There was another running back. J.K. Dobbins. He tore his ACL.
Yep.
That stinks for him.
Absolutely.
It stinks for the Ravens. Yep. How much worse are the Ravens now? Can Gus Edwards?
Yeah,
I mean, know Gus Edwards can run for a significant amount of yards because he's done it in an offense before. If Lamar Jackson gets hurt, you're bleeped.
Both the Ravens and the 49ers are a good example of this. And the Ravens
have are a perfect example.
Yeah, the Ravens have invested more, obviously, than the 49ers, but they're not investing first-round picks. Dobbins was a second-round pick. It's still a high draft pick, but they are not. Obviously, even they are not going to the first-round pick market, right? And even free agency, they give Mark Ingram a three-year deal, but it was a deal in which they could get out of after one. That's why he's no longer there.
Is he on a team?
I don't know.
I love this. I love late August in the NFL because it's when I go, oh, God.
So-and-so is, oh.
He's not a Texan because everyone else is a Texan.
Every time we're like, where is somebody? He's a Houston Texan.
Mark Ingram is a Houston Texan. What they've got? Isn't David Johnson also a Houston Texan? Mark Ingram is a Texan?
Everybody's a Texan.
Wow.
Except for good players, but, you know.
So they lose J.K. Dobbins, right? And everyone's like, well, that stinks for them. Yeah. You know, what a huge loss.
It sucks.
Yeah. But here's what else I could tell you. Is that over his last 3 years in Baltimore, as a backup every one of these times, he started 13 games with over 43 appearances in 3 years. Gus Edwards, who was he an undrafted free agent? I think he had to be, right? There's no information on his Football Reference page. Here's what he did in 3 years. 700, 700, 700 yards and change each of those years.
Undrafted free agent.
Running for 5.2, 5.3, and 5.0 yards per attempt. Because that offense, you get an NFL-capable running back in there, of which there are like 100, maybe? I'm counting Darwin Thompson, and he was the fourth guy on this roster. You have 100-some NFL running backs. You put them in there in the system with Lamar Jackson being the biggest running threat, and you're going to get production.
Yep.
That again, that's the whole argument. The thing that genuinely bums me out is that I grew up watching Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson and then
and
Jamal
the
Charles.
Just pound the ball.
I love NFL Street.
Yeah.
I love the running game in NFL Street. I played fullback for one glorious year in high school, not in college.
Absolutely.
Definitely not in college. One glorious year at fullback in high school and I loved it. It was great.
I was
got
a running
one
back
carry
in
my last game.
Eighth grade. I was our tailback.
It's a fun position. It's just that there are 100 guys who are really, really, really good at it. Mm-hmm. And then even you get to Christian McCaffrey, like a unique talent, right? Injuries still strike him because your body takes a beating as a running back. And so you can have some splits by degrees, but I really do hate the sort of at this point now inescapable bit that I hate all running backs because I really don't. Beards can cut me saying that, and it'll continue to make me sad. But I think that it's one of the most interesting position groups in all of football to me because you can see Darwin Thompson do something that looks really dynamic. And he got cut today.
Yeah.
That's the nature of that position, and it's why these conversations keep coming up, and it is why I find them interesting as well. Maybe we'll talk about that in about half an hour, a little less than that now. With Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest, maybe we will just talk about the other cuts they've made and see what Matt took away from that final preseason game. I have one predominant takeaway from preseason game number 3. And whenever we come back, Rudy, I can see, is going to read us the running back depth chart from the Houston Texans.
Wild.
Because I forgot it was Ingram.
I know
David Johnson is there, and I think there are a couple younger guys there as well. We'll figure out whenever we come back. We're out here, though, for a big event for Healing House Kansas City. Go to healinghousekc.com. Sportsnet.org to learn a little more about the work that they do. It's unbelievable. It's worth your time. I mean, like, I want to say, like, seriously, go do it. But I mean, I am saying it. Like, go check out what it is that they do. And stick around later on whenever we'll talk to the founder, director, and CEO of Healing House Kansas City. And I think her story, will put all that into context in a way that we're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. That's why we're going to be very glad to be joined by Bobby Joe a little bit later on. So we'll take a break here on Almost Entirely Sports. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about what I'm going to take away from the Chiefs' third preseason game. One thing that will rise above even after all of the cuts come down. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know what you do after you run the ball on first and 10 and you get 0 yards? You run that ball again. You establish that run.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I learned something truly shocking during the break. Reported first by Rudy Salazar.
Yeah.
Please credit him, Rudy Salazar of Almost Entirely Sports.
ESPN, I'm looking at you. That bowed ticker better have my Twitter handle.
Chris Conley, Houston Texan. Shocking.
Breaking news.
I think I actually had learned that one point this offseason.
Yeah,
for me, the biggest one is Emmanuel Sanders is a Bill.
I feel like this
when did that happen?
I feel like this is largely a wide receiver thing, more than wide receiver and running back.
Absolutely,
this is like a skill player thing. You see guys, right,
also.
And they bounce around.
Yep.
And it's about this time every year that you start re-remembering, right? Remembering where guys went, because like. I heard people like basically on they did this whole literally did this whole bit of Stitching on Part of My Take where they did not know
bits from the movie.
I know,
listen to the show
where like they did not know where receivers were at, and they were just like, wait a second, like
Le-Batard
they were like
this
they
also.
Were like, where's Sammy Watkins at? And it's like, I know he's in Baltimore because he was a Chief, but
right.
Like I imagine a large portion of America does not remember Sammy Watkins. This is the time of the year where all of a sudden you start remembering where everybody went to. Like,
and you,
I did not
learned,
know Nelson Aguilar was a Patriot.
What?
Until I listened to the podcast.
Because we know all of those guys from fantasy.
Yes.
Which is why it doesn't, for when a guard moves, it doesn't really affect me like that.
For sure.
But whenever you do find out that, let's see, who's a good one? Whenever you find out that, it's hard to know them without. When you found out Mark Ingram is a Texan,
yeah,
you remember Mark Ingram from the Ravens because you had him on your. Everyone had him on their fantasy team once. You had him with the Saints because everyone had him on your fantasy team then.
Ice Pyro points out Joe Flacco is an Eagle.
I think I knew that at one
I did,
point.
We talked about it on the show like within the
but
last.
Now Gardner
week.
Minshew is also an Eagle.
Now Gardner Minshew, which that trade doesn't. It's a weird trade.
The Jags are doing some weird things.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously Gardner's not the starter, but when you want a guy, like, don't you want, like, a semi-veteran?
They split reps with – I'm trying to
yeah. – yeah.
We're out here. We're overlooking the golf course at Loch Lloyd
right
now.
He's got pretty good grasp with the offense. He certainly knows how to learn an NFL offense.
We're here at a beautiful house for a beautiful sort of fundraiser for Healing House KC, healinghousekc.org. We'll talk more about them later on in the show. I almost just screamed in a way that
would
have made the cicadas fly out of the trees.
Yeah.
Everyone would have looked up at us here on this beautiful balcony, and they would have heard me scream. They split reps between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew, and then like 3 days after that trade went down, after they named Trevor Lawrence a starter, they trade him for a conditional sixth round pick to the Eagles.
And also, what are the Eagles doing? Just throw Jalen Hurts out there, and either he's good or you have a top five pick.
And have Joe Flacco or Gardner Minshew. Maybe you can trade Joe Flacco for a sixth round. I'd rather have Gardner Minshew than Joe Flacco in that. At that point.
Oh, you for sure. My thing is just more of like save your draft pick and just roll out with the, just ride those two and just see what happens.
So
it's probably going to be horrible, but then you got a high draft pick.
Beards, do you have some music that you whip up for us really quickly? I know we're on remote and you're back at the station, and so I know that you getting music whipped up is even harder without us being there for inspiration.
I mean, what kind of music are you wanting here?
You're busy. It's understandable.
I think I want music that sort of connotes like, wow, I can't believe this guy plays for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
That'll do it. Yeah, that works for me. I think that's fine. All right, Rudy, tell me someone who plays for the – or if you want to play this game, let's just play I Can't Believe This Guy is a Houston Texan.
Okay, so I am
– you tell me what you want the rules to be.
I'm going
to
give you some running back names here.
Okay.
You've named two of them, Mark Ingram II, David Johnson.
David Johnson's a Texan.
Who's still also the Texans traded. David Johnson, or traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson.
Yeah, it was a bad trade. Kind of forgot about that a little bit.
Yeah. You know who else the Broncos have in that running back room?
Texans?
Or
is it a former Broncos running back?
Took it a little bit. Yeah, Philip Lindsay.
Philip Lindsay? I knew there was Philip Lindsay.
It gets crazier.
They have four running backs that we all know.
Rex Burkhead is a Texan.
Try not to let people... hear me yell, Rex Burkhead is a freaking Texan.
Rex Burkhead. I don't know why I said Burkson. You know who else is a Texan?
Who else is a Texan that you don't know the Texan other than Chris Conley, David Johnson, Rex Burkhead, Melvin Ingram, and
Phil
Lindsay.
Learning this too. I looked at this roster, but I looked over this. Did you know Tyrod Taylor is a Houston Texan?
I did. He's probably their starter.
Yeah.
Probably their starter.
At least until, team doctor stabs his lungs.
Yeah, I am rooting against that on his behalf. This would be the time that I think everyone's rooting for Tyrod on this one.
Did you know Kevin Pierre-Louis is a Houston Texan?
I did not.
Former Chiefs legend.
Wasn't he most recently a football team?
A football team. I believe he was most recently a football team.
I was a little bit... There was some talk about maybe the Chiefs bringing him in free agency. I think he's kind of a pass... defending linebacker.
Yeah.
Who else is a Houston Texan?
Did you know Eric Murray? Former Chiefs legend.
I think he's been there for a while.
I think he has been there for a while, but still,
I wouldn't surprise me if he was no longer a Houston Texan.
Didn't know he was a Houston Texan. Vernon Hargreaves is a Houston Texan.
Aaron Wilson, who tweets news, often Texans news, I think.
Marcus Cannon is a Houston Texan.
Aaron Wilson covers the Texans in the NFL, says the Chiefs have cut Darrell Williams, lineman.
Oh, okay, I was about to say,
the lineman. The lineman, not the running back.
Okay. Oh, yeah, here's another one. I was mentioning, obviously, the podcast. This is what started that whole bit. You know who else is a Houston Texan?
Who else is a Houston Texan, Rudy?
You know
Salazar?
That Brandon Cooks is a Houston Texan.
No.
Brandon?
I did not know that.
Cooks.
That's very funny to me.
Brandon Cooks has played for a lot of NFL teams. I think he also has been
traded
for the most first-round picks.
Like, yeah. Is this his second time with the Texans?
I think it's his second year. I'm pulling it out of his page up right now.
Also, Aaron Wilson says Darrell Williams is expected to join the practice squad if he clears waivers. Tough, which makes it tough for the other offensive linemen, but he's been around for a little bit now. I think that makes sense.
Yes, he was a Houston Texan last year. I don't remember him with the Texans last year, but he was a Texan last year. He has been with the Saints, the Patriots, the Rams, and the Texans.
I have a guess as to why you probably don't remember him very much from last year.
He was good last year.
Oh, no, you're right. He played 15 games. Okay, I just didn't have him in any fantasy teams, I guess.
He has had four of his six seasons in the NFL have been 1,000 yards, and he has already played for four teams.
He also, doesn't it feel like he's always hurt? Is that a narrative around Brandon Cooks?
5 of 7. I think maybe you're thinking, well.
Because he's not. he's started.
Yeah. He's missed.
He's missed three games since his second season.
Yeah. He missed 6 games his rookie year, and he has only missed 3 games since.
I think maybe that was just, like, with him in New Orleans, and I don't know. That's surprising. All right, that concludes this. One more. Give me one more Houston Texan.
Tremont Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chiefs legend.
Chiefs legend Tremont Smith?
Well, you know what they say. If you can't beat them, sign all their players away.
That's running back, wide receiver, kick returner, specialist, defensive back Tremont Smith, right? Or I think of somebody else.
No.
That's right?
Yeah. That's Tremont Smith.
Bam.
Yeah, Central Arkansas.
Legend.
Oh, hey, that is all pro.
Did he make Tremont a Pro Bowl as a kick returner?
No, not Pro Bowl. He was an all pro kick returner, wasn't he? I'm, like, pretty sure his rookie year he was all pro.
We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll figure out all the mistakes we just made over the course of the last 30 seconds.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Gonna compare Patrick Mahomes to every other team's backup quarterback. God, do I know every team's backup quarterback? Let's find out. Let's find out!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. We now go to our Tremont Smith correspondent, Rudy Salazar, live from the field. Rudy, take it from here.
Yeah, Tremont Smith was the 2018 Pro Football Writers Association All-Rookie Team, but also Tremont Smith, second team, All-Pro, Pro Football Focus.
Not exactly what you said last segment. Missed a couple important qualifiers.
Do
you know Kenyon Drake is a Raider?
Oh, my goodness. It did it.
Carlos Hyde, where does he play?
San Francisco.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, nailed it.
Carlos Hyde is a Jag.
Nailed it.
Carlos Hyde, the Jaguars, and they drafted our answer.
Well, they drafted a wide receiver, Travis Etienne.
What did I say during the break that we were going to talk about?
Chiefs right 2018.
Oh, yeah, Rudy was scrolling through. We've played the Mack Lee Hill Award winner game many times before. And the 2018 winner is probably sort of the standout one from the Chiefs Rookie of the Year winners.
Not Ben Neiman.
Because the draft class is not great. Derek Nottie, clearly the best draft pick from that class, but he did not win the award.
He did not get it. Man, like who?
Not Breland Speaks.
Was Demetrius Harris the rookie? Harrison Butker.
Nope. We played this game because this is how we got to Mike Mozlowski winning it in 1999. So we've definitely played this game.
We have played this game.
I'll tell you what.
Dorian O'Daniel.
The guy who won it in 2018, currently on the roster. There's your hint.
Dorian O'Daniel.
Nope.
Patrick Mahomes.
Nope.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Nope.
Chris Conley.
Nope.
Frank Zombo.
Nope.
Eric Fisher.
Nope.
I'm just throwing out names on Tyreek Hill.
There had to be a rookie that year.
Derek Dieter.
Tyreek Hill won it 2 years before that.
I'm just throwing out names at this point because Darrell Williams.
The name we were looking for, actually, was Andrew Wiley.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think he was on his second or third team at that point.
Oh, my goodness.
Was still technically a rookie.
Andrew. That name will haunt me forever.
You see Sonny Michel got traded to the Rams?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That was another one. First-round draft pick.
Yeah. Draft those running backs high. Todd Gurley, pending free agent.
Giovanni Bernard, still a Bengal, actually.
I was going to say Bengal.
All is right in the world.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.